Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got the Dream Team, myself, Diamond Hands D. We got Tony the Tiger and Cool Hand Luke. What's up, guys? How
so,
we doing?
Are you you're Diamond Hands because you were like all into crypto and NFTs, and now you're just Diamond Hands because you can't sell them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I still got some JPEGs in the wallet. They're going to stay there for all eternity.
Right.
I did get out of a lot of them, but yeah, still have some.
You never know, man. The next pandemic, you know, can bring light back to NFTs and Beanie Babies.
Let's just go with Broke Hands D. How about that?
Broke Hands. Oh, man.
All right.
I've never seen somebody get shanked on a show before.
All right. Anyway. So today we'll do the same format, 5 minutes each. So big earnings season. So we'll talk about all the big boys and Magnificent Seven. We'll talk oil. You know, oil prices have been down for some time now. So we'll talk about why. WeWork was in the news for their bankruptcy, obviously. So kind of do a little debrief on that, you know, kind of talk about probably larger pictures there or a larger picture. And then canceled, we'll talk a little, maybe Jeff Bezos may be moving out of town. Wild times.
All right, man. The Magnificent
Seven.
Magnificent. All right. The S&P 7, that's what I'll call them. Takeaway. So that is Google, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, NVIDIA, Meta, and Tesla. Those are the seven players. All priced for perfection. How did they do? Anyone know?
They all were pretty good.
Yeah.
Except Tesla.
Okay. Well, yeah, Tesla, yep. And then NVIDIA, I don't think, reported yet.
No, they're coming up. But they've been actually rocketing up higher with all the rest of the earnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Microsoft, it's all about – they just hit an all-time high, and it's all about AI in the cloud. You know, as long as those two are in the news and upcoming, you know, what do you want to call those – just technologies
upcoming, like hype around new stuff.
Yep.
Except it says something else.
Amazon, right? The cloud, again, cloud storage strong, consumer strong. You know what? As I was looking up Amazon, I ran into an article. Do you know that they had that Bezos rolled out a pay to quit program? He ended it in 2022. But if you didn't want to be here, here's a perfect reason to get the hell out of here. He was offering up to $1,000 to $5,000. If you just didn't want to be here anymore, I will pay you to leave.
Interesting.
I know. They ended the program probably because they were having a hard time finding people.
Yep.
NVIDIA, it's still yet to report as of today, but AMD did well.
Yeah.
So I expect them to follow footsteps. Meta, the year of efficiency. They have doubled their profits, yet they cut 10,000 jobs this year. They're up 140%. The stock is in 2023. Ads are up 30%. Why not? You know, when you start slashing everything, like I'm sure you're gonna ramp up those profits, right?
Yep.
And then the other thing is Google. They beat on the top line and bottom line. They're 10% growth, and they fell on cloud weakness. Again, and the weakness.
Well, Microsoft's eating everyone's lunch. And AWS, Amazon's eating everyone's
lunch. Yeah. And I mean, they're just not scared of Google. They're not as big of a player.
Yeah.
Or they're losing ground to some of the other people in the cloud space, but they're still Google, and they're up 10%. Their revenues are up 10% year over year. That's crazy.
That's insane. It really is.
It's Google, and they grew 10%. I mean, I guess it was really bad. And then the other one last person that I'll just talk about. I want to make this – I'm sorry, I'm stealing all this time from you guys.
Oh, no, you're doing a great job.
Apple.
Keep going.
Apple.
Couldn't do any better, Tony.
Apple is a massive company. They make up 7.5% of the S&P 500. But this is the fourth quarter of decline in sales growth. So they're just not – they're not growing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So have they peaked? And I said this on – I was on like Schwab Network last week, and I said this, and the anchor laughed at me. And I said, what if Apple is the next IBM where everyone needs them? No one's not really going to not use them, but they just don't grow anymore because they're completely saturated. Apple has not been innovative or revolutionary in anything they've developed in the last 10 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And do they just become a huge consumer staples. They provide a dividend.
Yeah.
They don't really move. They don't go up. They really don't go down. And then, you know, they don't really move until they make another life-changing technology like the iPhone.
Well, that's my take the Magnificent Seven as a whole. Like, these technology stocks that were supposed to be, you know, kind of discretionary, that's my whole take, is they're more staples now, meaning that they're like necessities in people's lives. The whole cloud services is needed for businesses. Businesses need their technology to make sure the businesses operate efficiently. Consumers need to buy iPhones because you don't have a smartphone in today's world, you're behind, right? You can't keep up with what's going on in the world. So these are now necessities in our everyday lives. So that's why these kind of stocks are now perceived to be the safe haven, is because – you know, they can finance themselves. They have so much cash on the sidelines. And then at the same time, they're kind of perceived that people need them nowadays. So that's why uh-huh. these stocks are holding up, while the whole equal weight S&P 500 and small caps are getting absolutely hammered. Small caps are were below the October lows.
Yeah.
Small caps were below the October lows.
The equal weight is flat. So right. if everyone was equal, the whole SM, no one's growing except these seven companies. Yep.
I think that's real quick. I do want to say, though, even though that's kind of the perception, I think there's somewhat of a flawed way of thinking. The way of thinking now is, even if a recession happens, that these stocks will be able to hold up. I still think that's flawed. It will take the market down still.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But I read it somewhere that the equal weight, like, subtract out the top seven and the PE of the 497 other stock or 493 stocks, the PE is like 14.
Yeah.
The S&P 500 on average is around 16.5 historically.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they're like way undervalued. That's why there's a lot of talk about how, you know, maybe next year's players are mid and small caps.
Right.
Because they're so undervalued
mm-hmm.
compared to everything else.
So even if the small caps rally and the big ones sell off a bit, the market will be down, but then you'll see like all these other stocks rocketing higher. Like, you won't even know that.
That's
if
why
you look at the S&P 500. That's why you can't look at just the market anymore.
Why you need active management. Yeah. Somebody who's watching these stocks, picking stocks, not mutual funds, and ETFs, but, you know, trying to find the diamonds in the rough.
It's like Starbucks. Starbucks is up like 20% like the past like 2 weeks. You never would have thought.
But what are they year to date? They're probably flat.
I don't know, but they're up to like 20%, and we own it now. We bought it more, and it's up 20% now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's like an example. You never would think of Starbucks, but everyone's addicted to coffee. So
yep,
I'm addicted to coffee.
Don't get me. Do I need to rehash my French press.
Every time we bring up coffee, Tony, you always talk about your damn French press.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm saving. I'm paying 80% less than the average person and getting a better cup of coffee. And I'm proud of that.
You got to make changes in today's economy.
You should probably start taking the K-cups out of my paychecks.
Probably. Are you the one eating them all?
I was.
Yeah.
I took a hiatus for a little bit.
Okay. Who else is drinking coffee around here?
Derek.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably two at least a day.
Nice.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I make my coffee. I have my coffee on the way into work, and that's all. I just have.
Tony took the majority of that. I took the minority. D, what's the next one? Because we're going to give you this one because we talk all the time.
Oh, you know, like I said, Tony was doing a great job. But yeah, I think we got to move on because I think we didn't set the timer for the first one.
We did. We're like 5 minutes over.
So let's do this one pretty quick because we touched on it last week, and, you know, I think we're all pretty much in agreement. But, you know, year end seasonality, you know, I would say that's in our favor right now after this most recent rally over kind of last week or two, because, you know, typically things pick up, you know, during the holiday season, which is almost upon us.
Yeah. And things pick up, you know, like there's a more holiday cheer and spirit. And also a lot of investors get sleepy at the end of the year because they got Thanksgiving coming and then they got Christmas and, you know, it's just a sleepy season,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, but I don't want to be the guy that says Santa's delivering coal to all the investors out there this close out this year. So I'll just point out historically, November and December on average produce outsized returns. So That is historically, you can jump on that train. But I do also want to point out there's some landmines out there. There are a few wars going out there. Never know when China's going to pop off and invade Taiwan, and then we get involved there. Oil keeps on dropping. That's not a good sign. We'll talk about oil, but that's not a good sign for world economic growth. 8 of the last 9 jobs revisions have been revised lower. So they come out with a great print, and then no one talks about the revised lower. And then the Atlanta Fed has revised Q4 GDP. And we had a good GDP print, almost 5% this last time. They started at 4. They went to 2, and now they're at 1.2. So growth is considerably declining. So, guys, bah humbug. Sorry.
Well, I know, Luke, you said last week that you were thinking – we weren't going to see as big of a Santa Claus rally as we have in years past.
Yeah, I don't. It goes against what everybody says. It goes against some of the best books out there about seasonality. I have a good friend, Jeff Hirsch, who wrote his father created the stock market almanac, and he's carried it on year after year since his father passed away. And it's the same thing. You know, October's kind of, you sell in early October, then you buy late. You buy early, middle October, and you ride that wave till mid-January, and then things are looking pretty good. But the fact that the S&P 500's up 10% this year already, the fact that the NASDAQ's up still like 20% or whatever it be, and we've had this outsized gains pulled forward. I mean, we tend to forget, in good years, typically 6 or 7% gains in a good year is kind of where you want to sit, right? And things still aren't looking pretty, and everyone's still calling for kind of a recession downturn next year. Companies are preparing. I want to say this. The fact that companies are preparing for a recession could actually cause a recession. And what I mean by that is, if people are actually laying off people in preparation of a recession, that could snowball into actually creating a recession because people are getting laid off and companies are preparing. So it's like the concept and perception of there being a recession could actually cause us and put us into a recession.
But weren't they preparing? Because in the beginning of 2023, every analyst under the sun was predicting a recession this year, and it was a huge whiff.
I don't think the companies were preparing that much. I think it was more analysts preparing. Now companies look like they're starting to lay off more people. You've seen like Citibank, it's laying off 10% of the workers. JP Morgan's of the world laying off workers. More technology people, or companies are laying off workers. You've seen bankruptcies. We're about to talk about WeWork. I think you're going to start to see that trickle in the economy as companies start actually preparing rather than just the analysts. Just something to think about. So because of all that, seasonality I don't think is going to be as strong. I'm not calling a sell-off, but I don't think we're going to rally as hard as people think we are into the end of this year.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good segue into talking a little oil, because that was supposed to be second and I skipped over it. But
Texas tea.
Yep, the black gold. So so we're down 20% over the last 6 months. And I think is, you know, a lot based on demand. Also saw, you know, the predictions for the winter time has gotten more favorable, so it's supposed to be a warmer winter. I don't know how anyone even predicts that anymore, but yeah, what do you think that
I'm
is
pretty
telling
sure it
us?
Snowed 2 weeks ago
here. Oh yeah, on Halloween. Yep, I was there.
I was there.
All right, well, here's so that would indicate to me that World growth is slowing if there's no oil demand. Plus, you tie in the fact that Russia and the Saudis and OPEC and everyone's backing down production. That would I would assume that, you know, that would create more demand and keep the price elevated, yet it keeps on falling. It's down 20% over the last 6 months. And, you know, being that it's below 80, remember back in May of 2022, oil was $120 a barrel.
Yep.
So I found this very interesting conspiracy theory. You ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm
ready. And I'm trying to tie this together from one of our research. So the headline in one of our research, buried in one of our research papers, was U.S. weekly field production hit an all-time high. Let me repeat that. U.S. oil production is hitting an all-time high. I thought we were green energy. I thought we turned off the spigots. This is the highest it's ever been. And the last highest was in 2020, February of 2020, when we were doing 13 billion or million barrels a day. We just hit like 13.2. Yep. This is we are doing our own oil. Maybe that's why it is so low, because we're not buying it from anyone else. I thought we were green. I didn't know this. I looked at this and I'm like, huh, who's blowing smoke where?
Well, it's an election year. So I think that has has something to do with it.
Yeah. It has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Drive down oil prices, create production here. We now know whether Biden administration, whether or not they push it to get people to vote for them or not, it's not a national security threat to not produce our own oil because of geopolitical events, possibly China, Taiwan happening now, Middle East, you know, things like that. Yeah. So we got to produce our own oil at this point. So why, you know, of course we're going to turn on the spigots. Another thing is,
I'm happy to hear it. Don't get me wrong.
You're going to see the Biden administration, along with this, push for lower interest rates. He's going to be calling up Jay Powell on his cell phone and being like, hey, mm-hmm. we got to lower rates, because if we don't lower rates, I'm not going to get reelected.
Trump would just directly say it in a public setting.
Isn't even conspiracy. We know this happens now. Like it's we live in a world now where politics dominates our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's oil, rate cuts, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I was just about to say. Like when we talk about free markets and how they're supposed to work, and then how our economy actually works. We've seen a 3-year period now of price manipulation on oil. Like we saw it as day one of the new administration or the current administration. It's just been artificially, up and down, up and down, for their whole time in office.
Yeah. If you take a look, so the U.S. had a GDP print of like nearly 5%, like 4.9 or something like that a few weeks ago. Every country around the world basically was negative.
Yep.
And the Saudis their GDP was -4.5.
Yep.
So if they want to ramp stuff up, I'd imagine they'd have to ramp up the oil production, which is going to create more supply and drive down the price cheaper. I mean, we could see oil go a lot lower. I'm very shocked.
Hammer this point, though. The fact that we're seeing all-time highs right now with this current administration.
All-time highs of what?
Oil production in the U.S.
Yeah.
The fact that we're seeing that should tell you a lot about what we're to expect next year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with conflicts, with geopolitical conflicts, I think this is a telltale sign.
Yep. Like I said, conspiracy theory. I want to hear them.
Well, I mean, our strategic reserve is essentially like the lowest it's been, I don't know, in 40, 50 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact that we need to stockpile that up. No wonder why we're producing.
What did he say the number was that we were going to rebuild it? Because we might be there.
Yeah,
didn't he want to get back around when oil's like $78?
I was gonna say 70.
We're there.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, you missed it. Well, he's back. Are they gonna fill it? I don't know. They got a lot of other stuff. They're trying to give billions to everyone else. But whatever.
Yep.
Back at the ranch. Anyway.
All right.
What do we got?
So number four, WeWork. I think a very interesting story on the, overall economy. It's a company that was once valued at $47 billion, just filed for bankruptcy. And if you don't know, WeWork is basically a commercial office space that you can, rent out individually.
So if I was a single shingle entrepreneur, I can go rent space in one of these office buildings or floors or whatever they were doing, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it was?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they'd lease these corporate buildings and then go find single dingle shops or people, entrepreneurs, people that work from home that didn't want to work from home. They wanted to actually go into some sort of an office space. They'd sublease it out to these guys. And so that's how they made their revenue. The problem was that the demand just wasn't there as much as they thought. People aren't working even though they're working from home, why would you pay somebody to go work in an office space when you can just work from the comfort of your home?
Right.
It makes no sense. Right.
Yeah. And I think a big part of the valuation was like, hey, the office landscape is changing. So a lot more people would want, to have their own space.
When everything else costs 40 to 60% more in my life, why would I want to go rent when I can work out of my basement. Exactly. If I'm a single person, I can put some money into a room in my house and make it an office. And
well, most of these people want to work from home too. I mean, I don't mean this in any derogatory way. The people that want to work from home, though, they're somewhat more introverted. They just drift more introverted because they want to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. They're just how they are as people.
Yep.
So why would you want to physically walk or go to an office and be around other people when one of the benefits of you working from home is to not be around people?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, well, hey, at least Adam Neumann, the CEO, ripped at least $1 billion through sales. Good for that guy.
So that's the point I wanted to hit on, is that is completely explanatory of our environment from 2009 to 2022. The fact that these billionaires that became billionaires were able to make these companies that were not profitable at all and just basically grow top line revenue by borrowing a ton of money and, you know, leasing these corporations and subleasing them out, basically a horrible business model.
Yep.
The fact that they were able to do this and just grow top line revenue at the expense of bottom line profitability is concerning.
Yeah,
like, how many other companies out there are like this? That's my concern.
Yeah. It's almost like a pseudo Ponzi scheme.
It's like the SPACs. Remember that? Like, oh my God, you getting that new SPAC? Like, what do they do? I don't know. They're gathering money. Where are they going to buy it? I don't know. But I want in.
I want in. Yeah.
How much of this world is a Ponzi scheme? I think that's a big question we have to answer.
Yeah.
Man, very. What do they call that? I'll think of the name. Anyway, moving on.
Number five, canceled.
All right. So, our boy Jeff Bezos. Going to Miami. You know, he kind of looks like Pitbull a little bit, so he's going to Miami, I guess. Take advantage of no state income tax.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, who can blame anyone who's, you know, ridiculously loaded to move to Florida? Like, that's the move.
Will Smith Will Smith made the best, like, Miami song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
That's
man.
Classic.
You should sing it right now. You're trying to.
You know, and then you got Flo Rida. You know, he came up with some stuff. So I would move to Miami, too. But, so, I mean, obviously, you know, in my, like, the things I started looking up, I mean, the guy's got a $150 billion net worth. He bought an $80 million mansion. But here's the thing. So there are lower, believe it or not, there are lower taxes in Florida than there are in Washington. They actually have no federal or they have no cap gains tax in Florida, where in Washington they have 7%. So think about this. For every $1 billion you have that you would have to, like, liquidate and pay capital gains on, for every $100 billion, to just put that in for every billion you have, just to keep numbers simple, 10% of a billion is 100 million. So let's call it, if it's 7%, $70 million for every billion he wants to liquidate. Remember, he's got $150 billion. That sounds like a lot of money.
See, to me, if you're worth $100 billion, I think it's less about the money. I think it's just more about the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's more about him, like, saying, I'm getting out of this damn cold weather in Seattle.
Yeah, why would
and
you?
Getting out of, like, there's nothing much to do. When I'm going to go be on my yacht that I just paid $1 billion for this, like, super yacht.
He's
like, I'm going to go on my super yacht every day in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, go to the clubs, go do whatever I need to do.
Like, well, he's 59 years old. I don't know how much clubbing he's doing. But I would be hanging out on my $100 million yacht.
I'm sure he's going to the clubs.
But he said in the article, so bringing it back to real life, Luke. he wants to be closer to his parents. Okay, he's got the Blue Origin, so Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
You know, launching rockets and stuff. You know, he's got that going on in his life. He grew up in Miami.
I didn't know.
But he does have a new life. He's got, you know, $80 million mansion, $100 million boat. He's got a new lady. He's bicking his head, Pitbull style. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's putting it all together.
You look at Bezos and Elon Musk, I think they're just two totally different people with their wealth. Like, Elon Musk, like, does not care. It's more about, like, let's see how I can keep growing this to, like, do better for the world. And Bezos is like, now I'm going to go enjoy my life as much as I can because I've done enough. Yeah, he's got Blue Origin, I think, and a couple others that, like, he's still pumping money into, but I think he's way less involved. It's just interesting, like, the different philosophies around wealth when you get to that level. Like, some people are just like, I'm going to disconnect a little bit more. Some people are like, I don't care about this wealth. I just want to keep growing business and make the world
remember that 5-minute rocket ship ride he did? And he jumped in. He got to, like, whatever they call that, the whatever space is. Yeah. And then they came back down and they were just high fiving each other. Yeah. Like, why don't, I haven't seen that in a while. Are they still doing that stuff?
Yeah, that's a good point. It went away pretty quick.
Right.
I guess.
What happened to $250,000 rides that Sir Branson was offering for Virgin Galactic?
Yeah. What happened to those? Too. Yeah, they went up there too. Yeah.
So I think some part of Virgin Galactic went bankrupt, I'm pretty sure. They just went bankrupt. I don't know if it was actual
Ponzi schemes.
Tell you what, man. The economy, the world.
It's crazy. I mean, you can hop in a sub and go down and see the Titanic. You can hop in a rocket ship and go see the stars. Man, what can't you do these days?
Jeff Bezos has it right. Going down to Miami, spending time with family.
Family, getting back to his roots.
That's right.
Watching.
He understands what life's actually about.
That's right. And it's it's about avoiding 7% capital gains tax.
That's right.
So Virgin Galactic actually is starting up in February. You can book right now. Ooh. February 16th costs $450,000.
Wow, I was way off. I said $250,000.
No, it started out at $250,000 for sure.
Inflation.
Yeah. Inflation. What did I tell you, man? 40 to 60% is, well, that's almost 100%, but we're there. $450,000?
Yep,
$450,000.
Damn. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep. You know, these... jet fuel is not cheap anymore.
Man, I'm just trying to put $450 in my 401k.
All right. Well, good show. That was a really good show. Really good topics this week.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
No, it was excellent. Excellent. So,
just kidding. No, it was Tony's. These are all Tony's.
But yeah, thanks for listening this week. We appreciate you. If you guys have any questions, comments, hit us up at info@swpconnect.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.